The Giant Killer team would like to kick off this podcast thanking our title sponsor for the 2019-2020 basketball season and beyond, the law firm of Condori, Murad, and Neeson. It is through this partnership and support that we hope to expand our reach in providing coverage for Mason Athletics at home and on the road. The KMN Law Firm can help you with many of your legal needs, whether it be helping you start your business or do you need assistance drafting a will or going through the probate process? Or even if you're having property or construction related issues, this is the law firm you want to reach out to first. With two convenient locations for Mason students and alum in Fairfax down the street from the Mason main campus and in Arlington near Mason's law school campus, the KMN Law Firm is your source for legal services. Give them a call at 703-385-2080 or visit them online at www.kmnlawfirm.com. And be sure to let them know the Giant Killer team sent you.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Morrison. Long face and coin, George Mason.
We're in Fort Worth, Texas. Second road trip for Ron and myself. Say what's up to all your fans.
What's up?
Second road trip now. First was to the Cayman Islands. Killed Woo! It. Won the Cayman Classics. Can't Woo! Say we had the same success here at TCU. Tough loss. Almost lost by 40. Never really looked motivated during the game. Missed shots. Put our head down. Just, you know, didn't really ever have too much energy. What did you see, Ron? You know, let's not go into great detail of the game. I'm sure nobody really cares. We'll get to our food recaps and our campus opinions here soon. But, you know, what did you get from the baseline?
The biggest takeaway, again, was the emotion of the players. They seemed so out of it. And Coach even talked about in postgame, you could just tell, like, from the get-go. It was just heads down. Mason was losing really early. They had it seems like it was no shot at winning this game, and you could tell by the way the players were carrying themselves. There's not much more else to say.
Yeah, the under 16 timeout, media timeout, we had 0 points. I think it was 8-0, and we just kind of felt deflated from the very start. I talked to Simpkins. You can find that on GMU Giant Killer. It's on their Twitter. I interviewed him in a segment called Sideline with Simpkins, and he said that they had amazing practices before the game. And, you know, so I got all hyped. He said, AJ has just changed us. He's consistent now. I was just so ready to kind of go into TCU and hand them a loss for our last non-conference game. That's not what happened. You know, so far we played kind of basically two quality opponents. I know you can call New Mexico State kind of a quality opponent. They're like RPI top 100. But, you know, as far as, you know, Q1 and Q2 opponents, it's really just Maryland and now TCU. And both beat us by 30 points. So that's not too good going into conference play versus a VCU team who, you know, teeters the top 25, can turn you over, can hit threes, just have a ton of athleticism. Silva is a monster in the paint. And as you could see from games like today and Maryland, we don't really handle the paint too well. So I'm not too sure. You know, we'll drop a VCU preview podcast here next week. So that's not what this is about. Talking TCU, it was nice to see Grayer again. You know, and unfortunately, the way the post game unfolded, you know, we didn't really need DP to go to the presser. So Grayer went to the presser and we had to interview DP outside. So we didn't get a chance to chat with Grayer. That's a massive mistake on our part. It was half the reason for coming here was to chat with Grayer. I wanted to see why he left Mason. He probably wouldn't have answered the question, but I wanted to ask him, you know, I wanted to chat with him to see if he missed Fairfax. I wanted to get a selfie with the guy. I didn't get to do any of that. You know, when you lose by 35 or whatever in the game, you know, my mood was low. It's only two of us. so I didn't get a chance. But I did talk to Paulson, and that interview is coming up at the end of the podcast, so make sure you stay throughout. But Grayer, you know, you've shot a lot of, you know, a lot of Grayer over the years. Did you grow to like the guy?
Yeah, I did. It's because his shots always came out so clean, man. And he has a great jump shot. Coach even mentioned it. It's a sweet looking shot, and all the photos come out fire each time.
And it's just, you know, it's a guy you wish it would have worked out a little bit better to close out, but he was a 1,000-point scorer, Mason. He'll go down in the history books, and it looks like he's found a home for the year at TCU. We'll see what TCU turns into. Picked to finish like dead last or close to dead last in the Big 12. This guy, Desmond Bain. I said Dane, but Desmond Bain.
Yes,
I
mean, Bain was, like Batman, yes.
He was jacked, and we needed Batman to try to stop him.
And our Batman was where?
We left him at home. He's in Fairfax, cocked up, getting fat after the holidays. Man, Bain just, he looked like a linebacker. Can the Redskins sign this guy? I mean, he was just jacked. He hit threes. He got to the bucket, scored at will, 5 for 7 from the three-point line. And then once he hit threes, it was a shot fake, one dribble penetration, easy pull-up for a floater or a foul line extended jumper. Just looked too easy all night long.
Yeah, he walked all over us. And the thing is, when you're so lethal from all parts of the floor, he can. It's just he literally walked his way into every lane, every spot on the court. He just had his way.
Yeah, pretty much did whatever he wanted. You know, and it's tough. We have smaller guards, so what happens when we play teams with bigger guards like that? Are we able to defend them? You know, we don't really have a point guard on our roster that has the ability to guard a guy like that. Is that going to be a problem when we play a Doughton and other athletic guards like Davidson guard? Like, are they just kind of post us up? Are they just going to bully us and get us into foul trouble? And that's exactly what happened to start this game. And people want to complain about early foul trouble, and I'm just not willing to accept that. You know, usually the aggressor gets the calls, and we were not that team tonight. We just simply weren't. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't get to the bucket. We couldn't get by our guy. We couldn't defend well. I mean, yeah, the KMN player of the game is Xavier Johnson, and he deserved it. He had 14, 3, and 4, brought a spark off the bench, played 27 minutes. Is he gonna get more minutes going forward? Yeah. The guy I look at today, though, is Javon Green. Banged his head against the scoreboard, going for a loose ball. Played 17 minutes, 1.0 rebounds, 1 assist. That's not going to get the job done. Kyer, 26 minutes, 4 points. It's not going to get the job done. A.J. Wilson, 26 minutes, 7 points. Aduro looked real aggressive early on. Was getting offensive rebounds, you know, just kind of all over the floor. Had 8 rebounds. 4 of them came early. Thought they had to reward him. But he shot the ball 9 times. So it wasn't as if he didn't get an opportunity. It was just a game in which we just didn't really have much. Gonar Mar, a guy who's been closing games out for us, 13 minutes, 0 points. Had another shot that looked like it barely kissed the front of the rim. I have absolutely no idea what's going on with Gonar Mar. Greg Calixt, 11 minutes. Did he not deserve more than 11 minutes tonight? I don't want to get too down, but the fact is we haven't really beat up on a good team. You know, that New Mexico State game's a good win. It's the best win of our season. But with VCU coming up, you wanted to, if we lost, you wanted to be a competitive loss. And that simply is not what we got from the boys tonight. But we're in Fort Worth, Texas. We walked around the TCU campus. I'm going to let Ron kind of break down our day from getting on the flight to getting to TCU.
All right, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Left Reagan, landed at Dallas, a Love Field airport, hopped in an Uber about an hour to Fort Worth, Texas. We went straight to campus. Our goal was to find a good food spot, explore, see where all the hype was on campus. Our first stop was Fuzzy's. Fuzzy's is a taco spot. Had really good reviews. We just picked it out of the, you know, just out of the blue. I had the shrimp and mahi tacos. I'm a soft taco guy. I guess. Come on, Brian is a hard shell. I think hard shells are a mess.
It was kind of messy.
Yeah. they had this a chips and salsa. It was excellent. The vibe of the restaurant was awesome. Really good prices, really quick service. We enjoyed ourselves.
They seasoned the chips, and it sounds to me like Ron is now a convert. He's going to now season
seasoning my chips. I don't know what kind of seasoning they use, but I'm going to experiment with my chips and salsa at home. Our second spot, you know, we got to go more than one spot. You know, we don't play around when it comes to food and exploring. We hit a second spot called Buffalo Brothers. This was more of like a TCU themed bar. Had wings, pizza, subs. Brian got some chicken wings. What flavor did you get, Brian?
I got the Cajun. I got both the wet sauce and the dry rub. The Cajun just kind of like an Old Bay Cajun seasoning, dry rub, nothing special. But the wet wings, they kicked my ass. They were so hot. I needed water. I was taking sips of Ron's Sprite just to like have that bubbly feeling on my tongue. I like hot wings, but man, these were spicy.
Oh yeah, I could smell them, man. Like, they smelled amazing.
Ron got mozzarella sticks. They looked pretty cheesy. The cheese was actually at one point dripping down Ron's lip onto his chin.
Oh yeah. Into my luscious beard. But yeah, I had some Sprite, of course. Brian had a drink or two. We got some work done there, whipped the laptops out. Met some Mason fans out there, right, Brian?
Yeah, Chris Durlack and our guy Mason Fanatics, Alan. This was his one road trip he set up. Not his one road trip, but he does a major road trip every year. And this was the one I told him, man, I feel bad for you. You know, you took, this is your one trip. You should have gone to the Cayman Islands. Obviously, that's a little bit more expensive, considering every cab ride was about $45. But, you know, I did feel bad for Mesa Fanatics. He was out there. And then, of course, some of our bigger donors were there as well. I actually saw some green sprinkled around the crowd as well.
A little bit, yeah.
Some guys who live in Texas probably made their way out, some Patriots. But we also went to one more spot before we got to the game.
Yeah, we hit the team store or the bookstore or whatever it's called for TCU. It was massive. Two floors. The first floor was just all Nike gear. And you know me, man, checks over stripes any day.
How do you guys feel, Mason Nation, about Ron buying TCU paraphernalia?
Okay, hold on, time out. I just wanted some souvenirs.
He bought something from the TCU team store. If that wasn't a bad omen, I don't know what is.
It was just like a pin and a magnet.
He's like, oh, my girl, she really loves like when I bring her presents from my road trips. Grow a pair. She doesn't need a TCU horned frogged magnet.
I wanted the horned frog magnet, okay? It's not a problem to have some sort of souvenir, a little bit you want to keep from your memories. At least I didn't buy a shirt. The baseball jerseys looked amazing.
I mean, the place was huge. You walk in, it's like so well lit. First of all, it's a standalone building. You know how our bookstore is in the JC, kind of like hidden. This is a standalone building, two levels. All the different partnerships, product you could imagine. There was like charcuterie boards. There was Yeti coolers. There was Nikes and Nike shoes in purple.
That had TCU on them. The actual TCU logo was on the shoes.
Yeah.
Another really cool factor about this school, at the arena, there's a Hall of Fame in the main lobby. It has all the current stars that are playing in professional sports from TCU.
So that would be Andy Dalton from the Bengals, Jerry Hughes on the Bills, Carpenter for the Cardinals in baseball. I mean, they got some players. There was a tennis player. And then you look over to their Hall of Fame, they got like LaDainian Tomlinson and just a bunch of other, you know, pretty massive sports figures.
Yeah. And overall, the campus was very beautiful. The buildings, the architecture was very nice. The football stadium was directly like next to the basketball stadium.
It was nice. It was all kind of in one area. So, you know, one central location for all their athletics.
We got a chance to see the stadium. It was right next to our entrance from media. It was a great sight to see. Again, beautiful campus, beautiful stadium. Everything sort of fits well together.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I mean, we didn't get a chance to, like, really go to, like, the heart of campus where, like, all their, you know, class buildings are. But from everything I saw, I mean, they're building this brand new suite luxury box spot right outside of the stadium. And it just looks so money, like everything, like even inside of the arena. I can't pronounce the name, so why
they had this VIP lounge, right?
Yeah, the VIP lounge where people eat. It actually looks onto the presser. There's an open glass door so they can watch the presser take place. Huge buffet full of food. You know, and it just makes me think, like, I look to the green and gold room and I'm just like, man, this is old and lacking. You know, of course, it's not going to be a Power 5 school, but inside the arena, you know, the purple seats with the TCU logo on them as you get closer, the way that it's just kind of like one big circle, nothing feels too far away. The screens are massive. All the bits they did were funny. There was one specifically funny bit. They had a kid draw a picture of a player, and the rest of the players and the teammates had to guess the player. It was super funny. I was laughing. You know, it just makes you like realize like the production quality that they have is just so thorough. Obviously, kind of a sleepier game with the kids on break and the score being lopsided. But all in all, can't kill our vibe. Whenever Ron and I get together, we always have a good time checking out a campus in a completely different place of the country. Super cool. I'll probably never come back to TCU in my life. So checking this one off the box. I wish we could have gotten to see like, you know, some bullfighting or some horseback riding and some cowboys lassoing. We didn't get a chance to do that, unfortunately, because we just wanted to work for you guys, our fans. I'm fighting back depression. I'm looking into Ron's eyes right now, and he's just always got a smile, and he's keeping me happy. Anything else we got for the fans?
I know we talked a lot about how amazing TCU's campus is. But I wouldn't lose faith in Mason either. You know, we're building up our campus too. You know, our athletics infrastructure is not too shabby compared to other mid-major schools. And I think things are on the up when it comes to our athletics. And hey, 11-2.
We got a chance to, you know, Ron and I specifically got a chance to go view the locker rooms. And then they were super nice. But EBA still needs some tinkering.
You know? Need some work, yeah.
You know, the gold and green rooms, they need some work. You know, there's no special place to watch the game from. You know, like, there's no suite. There's no, like, luxury about it. I don't know if there's even anyone out there that wants that luxury. You can sit courtside, which is super nice, but it's just every time I go to another arena, I just think EBA is still not quite there, and maybe it never gets there. But I would agree. We're on the up and up. Games like this, you know, they're sending Mason Twitter into a frenzy. You got people fighting, people saying fire Paulson. You got Cameron Newton. You can follow him at Morrison Crying, tweeting out, George Mason is going to get exposed big time by a lot of the A-10's top tier. I don't know who he's talking about in the top tier. Is that Jess Dayton? Is VCU in that top tier? Because after that, falls off. Richmond's taking some L's. Davidson, who are they? Rhode Island has lost another player to the transfer portal, have no bench. You know, who really is elite? Duquesne taking L's. You know, we're kind of seeing the last, like, you know, 2 weeks is kind of a nightmare for the A-10. Tonight, we went 2-4, I believe, 4 road losses. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people kind of overreacting, taking stabs at Mason. You know, it's not hard to do when you're losing by 35 points. But just let's do a quick look around the A-10, and then I'm going to give you our interview with Dave Paulson after the game. Massachusetts lost to Akron. St. Bonaventure lost to Buffalo. Dayton handled business, top 25 team, beat North Florida. Fordham beat Coppin State. Woo! Davidson lost to Vanderbilt. That's a Scottie Pippen Jr.-led team, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. For the legend son. And then, of course, George Mason lost to TCU 87-53. For a while there, I wondered, was TCU going to score 90 points before we scored 50? It was close. The guy Bain, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Top 10 scorer in TCU history. What an animal. So not a great look for the A-10 with the last week before conference play starts, but I had that feeling like we just got to get into A-10 play, and here we are. So after the game, I had a chance to talk with Dave Paulson, me and the Associated Press writer, had some questions for him about Grayer. I kind of talked to him about some strategy and also, you know, did he lay into the team? Again, our sponsors, our KMN Law Firm, thank you guys so much for the opportunity. Hopefully, we're making you proud here in Fort Worth, Texas. And here's the interview with Dave Paulson.
Coach, what was it like to see Jair Grayer on the opposite bench after all he's done for you?
Well, it was weird, you know, and certainly we'd scheduled this game with TCU before we knew Jair was going to go to TCU. But, you know, I'm glad he's doing great, you know, and watching film get ready for him. You know, sometimes when somebody's gone, you forget. And I watch him like, God dang, he's got a sweet stroke. You know, he really can shoot the ball. So he's doing well. And obviously, you know, we didn't play well at all. But I do think TCU, I don't know what Jamie said, but they clearly, you know, they clicked and really played well offensively and put us in tough situations.
They played well offensively, but sometimes is it just one of those nights where the other team has those open shots, they go down, and there's not much you guys can do about it?
That's, you know, probably maybe in 3 weeks I might have that perspective. And to some degree there was. There were some tough shots and some good players who made good plays. But there were too many. We allowed for the first time all year missing our own shots or not being in a good flow offensively to impact our defensive DNA. And one of the things about this team up until tonight is, you know, we've guarded exceptionally well. Guarded exceptionally well at the 3-point line, and we've been able to defend regardless of whether we're playing well offensively or not. Tonight, for whatever reason, we didn't have that, and that's what I'm disappointed about.
You ever feel like sometimes, too, this might tend to happen at the end of non-conference when you have those important conference games upcoming?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think, you know, it's not like, you know, you're playing at home against a bad team or something. We're on the road against the Big 12 team. So it wasn't a matter like, oh, we're looking for the start conference play. Like, we had 4 great days of practice. Oh, I thought we were ready. But, you know, we look like deer in headlights at times. But I thought TCU played really, really well as well.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
Coach, you talked about just, you know, some defensive struggles there. Would you attribute that to mismatches at all, like Bain or the big guy?
Well, I mean, certainly Bain is really good. And physically, you know, is a man. And the big guy is really good and physically is a man. So certainly that was part of it. But as I told our guys, you know, if the other team wins, the other team goes out and plays great, and you're scratching a claw and doing whatever you can, and they're just better than you, and we can live with it, you know? But there were too many unforced defense errors and rotations and lack of communication and all that kind of stuff. So, all we can control is what we can control. You know, Bain's a terrific player, and the Samuel kid is – you know, it was a monster, and but, you know, that's what we'll focus on. And we told our guys, you know, if you play your non-conference season to play against variety of styles, variety of competition, and to learn about your team. You know, and this is the first time all year where we lost our swagger on the defensive end. And And if we learn from it and bounce from it and regroup from it, then it will have been a productive trip. But if we, you know, hang our heads or point fingers or something like that, then it'll be bad. And this group has been great all year, and I'm confident we'll bounce back.
Multiple games this year, it kind of seems like we've started by attacking the paint, getting early buckets with Kalix, Naduro, and AJ scoring in the paint. It doesn't seem like we were able to do that tonight. Is that just by, you know, lack of moving the ball, or kind of what did you see from our offense?
We rushed some things, you know. We tried to get it inside, you know. Josh took 9 shots. AJ took 10 shots, you know. Now they double the post from the baseline, you know, kind of a somewhat unique defensive approach. We practice against it, but that was different. I do think the size and physicality, we rush stuff. That's an area of scoring around the basket we have to get better at. You know, that's been a little bit of an issue for us just in general.
And last question, sometimes on the sidelines you can get pretty animated, pretty angry. Is this a game which you go back into the locker room and lose it on your players, or you keep your composure? You know, can you talk to us about what the locker room was like after this game?
Angry? No, a locker room afterwards is like statements of fact. You know, like there's no need. Anger at times is well-placed and is appropriate. In this case, I didn't think it was. It was, here's where we're at. And there's tactical things that we can learn from the tape. But in the end, it was how many times would guys miss shots and their eyes hit the floor, you know, or a guy hits a tough shot at the end of the shot clock, guys hang their heads. There's just way too much of that that we haven't seen from this team. And that's, you know, I don't know how good the camera angle will be, but if it's a good enough angle, that would be the stuff I'd show. You know, if you're a good player in a good team, a person could come in and watch a game and not know if you're 8 for 8 or 1 for 8, or not know if you're up 12 or down 12. Like, your body language, you should have that swagger. I missed this one, but I'm going to hit the next one. Or you hit a tough one, but you were lucky. I'm going to get you stopped the next time. And that's what we have to develop. And if that comes out of this trip, then it will have been, you know, a long-term positive. Obviously a short-term negative right now.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Coach. Good luck for VCU.
All right. Thanks.
Have you ever drafted a will for yourself? Should you create a trust? What about obtaining financial or medical powers of attorney? If you're not sure what to do, give the lawyers of Condori, Murad, and Neeson a call. With locations in both Fairfax and Arlington, the KMN Law Firm is the place to go for all your real estate-related needs. Regardless of where you live, they'll be able to guide you through the process in a convenient and comforting manner. Give them a call at 703-385-2080 or visit them online at www.kmnlawfirm.com. And be sure to tell them the Giant Killer team sent you. Again, that's www.kmnlawfirm.com.